I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2 once again. Luke chapter 2. This morning, we continue to learn about God's unspeakable gift. And you might say, well, that was a Christmas series. Christmas is over now. Christmas is never over for me. But the Christmas story doesn't end at Bethlehem. The Christmas story goes on and becomes the Easter story. And the Easter story goes on to become our story. Story of our lives. And it's because of the birth of that baby in a manger that we are here today. And this morning I want to talk to you just a little bit about the fact that Jesus Christ is a praiseworthy gift. He was a promised gift in the very beginning when mankind sinned against the Lord. God made a promise. He prophesied, even in his cursing of the devil, he promised that he would send one who would crush the serpent's head. We learned about the fact that Jesus Christ is a perfect gift. That everything that we need is fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Today I want to tell you that he is a praiseworthy gift. We're going to study Luke chapter 2, verses 36 through verse 38. If you're able, let's stand to honor the word of the Lord today. Are you guys excited about a new year? Amen. Are you really? Amen. Is anybody not excited about a new year? Yeah, that's what I figured. I figured there'd be at least one or two. You know, that's the way I am a little bit sometimes. I get a little sad, I'm not going to lie. When Christmas is over, I get a little depressed. And just, you know, It's hard to believe how fast time moves on. But I'm over it this morning because I'm excited about a new year. I'm excited about what God did in the past year. I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do in the future. And we have incredible opportunities here at Calvary Missionary Baptist Church. I want you to know why. Because the darker the night, the greater the light. I mean, you take the tiniest little light, if it's pitch black, and it'll light up a whole room. And I'm telling you that we've got opportunities. And so let's be excited about this new year. Let's be excited about digging into the word of the Lord today. And we've got a lot to give thanks for and to praise the Lord for this morning. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your incredible love for us, your mercy that endures forever. And this morning, as we come before your throne of grace, we pray for your mercy and your grace in our hearts and our lives and on this church, that you would forgive our sin, that you would help us to die to self and live wholly unto you. Lord, I pray that you convict our hearts by your word today and just help us, Lord, to make decisions in our hearts and minds this very morning that we would live for you in a greater way this year than we ever have before. Lord, help us to rejoice in all that you've done for us. And as we consider what you've done, we give thanks every day. Lord, may it change the way that we live for you. Please help now and bless, for I'm nothing without you. And I just pray that your word would move in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Men, please be seated. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was a praiseworthy event. And we go back through the Christmas account in Scripture. We find that Elizabeth gave a hymn of praise, a song of praise, when she met with Mary came to see her, and John the Baptist leaped in her womb. She praised the Lord. She gave a song of praise to God. We remember that Zacharias, when John the Baptist was born and he finally had his tongue loose and was able to speak, he began to praise the Lord and give thanks unto God and lift up his voice to all who could hear about the great thing that God had done. We think about Mary and how Mary gave praise to the Lord for what he had done. We think about the night that Jesus was born and the angels came down and appeared to those shepherds in the field. And the shepherds got to hear the angels singing and praising God that night. We think about all the others that we talked about throughout this account. And we think about Simeon, even last week. Simeon, he too gave thanks to the Lord. Now, when Mary and Joseph came to the temple, she came to bring an offering for her purification. Jesus would have been 40 days old at that time. And you remember how God brought them and Simeon together. And Simeon praised the Lord and gave glory to God for what was there. And this is the moment when Anna comes up. We read just a moment ago in verse 38, she coming in that instant. Well, that instant was when Simeon was there holding Jesus and giving praise to God and telling Mary and Joseph about who he was and what he would do. And we're going to see a little bit about Anna and how she too gave thanks to the Lord. First of all, a little bit of history of Anna, if you would please. The name Anna is just the Greek rendering of the Old Testament name Hannah. And you remember Hannah of the Old Testament, how Hannah could not have a child and she prayed to the Lord. It was when Eli was the priest in the temple, and how that Eli had a couple of boys that weren't any good. They were sons of Belial. And you'll remember that Hannah couldn't have a child, and she was grieved and sore vexed about that, and she prayed to God, and God blessed her. Well, the name Hannah or Anna means grace, because God's grace was on Hannah, and God's grace was on Anna as well. Now, you got to understand for a moment with me that I personally think that the faithful remnant of Jews in Jerusalem at this time was a pretty small group. I mean, those who really believed the Lord Jesus Christ or believed in the coming Messiah, those who were really loved God and were serving God. I think the vast majority of the Jews in that day were, I'm afraid, like a lot of Christians, the vast majority of Christians so-called today, they honor God with their lips, but their hearts were far from Him. Maybe that's not a fair accusation, but I think it is. And so many of them were not serving God, did not believe God, didn't love God, weren't really loving God. It was just an outward show, but there were a handful that were true believers, and we see them brought out in Scripture like the shepherds. Listen, there's a reason God sent the angels to the shepherds, because those men really believed. They were looking for the coming Messiah, and so God got to show them that. And we think about Simeon, who was a just and a devout man and who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was a man who was looking for the coming Messiah. And God allowed him, through the Holy Spirit, told him he would see Messiah before he died. And we talked about that last week. But now Anna, who this woman who was faithful to God and who loved the Lord and served Him continually with fastings and prayer, this woman was one of the remnant. She really loved the Lord. She really knew the Lord. She was really looking for Messiah to come. And God blessed her, and God's grace was on her life. Did you notice about her? Not only her name means grace because God's grace was on her, but she was a prophetess. She was a prophetess. Now, some people get all up in arms about this, but throughout the Scripture, there were prophetesses. We look in the Old Testament at Exodus chapter 15, and Miriam was a prophetess. Later, we see in the book of Judges, a woman named Deborah, who was a prophetess and judged in Israel. Later in 2 Kings 22, we see a woman named Huldah, who was a prophetess. And in Isaiah chapter 8, Isaiah's wife is referred to as the prophetess. And so throughout the Old Testament, there were prophetesses mentioned. Even in the New Testament, Acts 21, Philip, the evangelist, had daughters and four daughters who were virgins, which did prophesy. By the way, the Bible also mentions a couple of false prophetesses. Kind of figures it'd be that way, right? You got prophets and you got false prophets. You got prophetesses. You're probably going to have false ones. There was one mentioned in the Old Testament named Noadiah in Nehemiah's day. And then in the book of the Revelation, when God sends a letter to the church at Thyatira and He gives them their message, He mentions the prophetess Jezebel there, who is a false prophetess. Now, whether it's referring to an actual woman or whether it's just a symbolic, either way, we see throughout the Scriptures there are those women who prophesied. So what does that mean? Now, Anna, I don't believe that Anna was a prophetess in the sense that she God gave her divine revelation and she foretold the future of anything like that. I believe that it just means that she told the truth. She shared the message of God. He understands in the scriptures the word prophet, it means to proclaim the truth. And sometimes a prophet was one who foretold the truth. God gave them divine revelation and they could see the future and they told everybody about it. Other times a prophet was just one who preached the word of God. They took the word of God and they proclaimed the truth. They foretold instead of foretold. They foretold. They gave out the truth. And I believe that that's exactly why Anna was a prophetess. All these years she was in the temple. All these years fasting and praying. All these years she was telling God's truth to others and trying to encourage others. By the way, that's a good thing for ladies to do today. I told you before, there's some things that ladies cannot do in the church. The Bible is clear that a woman cannot be a pastor. Now, some of you guys don't, maybe you don't like that, but that's what the Bible says. It's difficult for a lady to be the husband of one wife. Even in our world today. Amen? Even no matter what the Supreme Court says, that's still tough for a woman to do. And the Bible's clear that a woman is not supposed to be a pastor. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, that a woman is not to, don't allow her or suffer not a woman to teach men or to usurp authority over men. And so there's a few things that ladies can't do in the church, but you know, a lady can tell the truth of the Word of God to other people. Amen. A lady can teach other ladies. Amen. A lady can teach children. There's so much that ladies can do, and I just want to say again that I'm so thankful for godly women in the Lord's churches throughout the years. I told you before, the church that I grew up in would not exist today were it not for godly women who faithfully served the Lord when there were men who were deadbeats and didn't do what God wanted them to do. I have no qualms about saying that. I don't know where we got upside down, but so many fellas today say, well, I leave the church stuff, the spiritual stuff to my wife. That's for the wife and kids. That's a bunch of nonsense. That's men buying into the lie of the devil because they're lazy. Amen. I got two amens out of that. Now it's a man's job to know the Lord, to love the Lord, and to lead his family in the way of the Lord. Amen. But this woman, Anna, she was a prophetess. She was one who proclaimed the truth of the Word of God. And though every person in this building cannot be a pastor, every person in here cannot have that official role in the ministry, and maybe there's a few things that a lady can't do, but one thing every person in here who knows the Lord can do and should do is share the gospel with other people. I believe this. I believe that it simply means that Anna was a soul winner. She was trying to reach people with the gospel. That's what it means. Notice more about her history. Her name means grace, but notice the Bible says that she was the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Phanuel, his name is the Old Testament Penuel or Peniel, and it means to turn to God. Isn't that good? Turn to God had a daughter named Grace. If you turn to God, God's grace will be in your life. And let me give you one more. The name Asher means happy. If you turn to God, His grace will be on your life and you'll be happy. Amen. I love it. Amen. I don't know what your name is. I don't know what your name means, but I know this. If you turn to God and His grace will be on you, then you'll have happiness in your life. Amen. And that's what happened in this lady's life. She turned to the Lord in her life. She made that choice and God's grace was on her life and she was happy. She had the joy of the Lord in her life. By the way, just as a side note, some of you guys have heard of the 10 lost tribes of Israel. They try to say that when Israel was carried away by the Assyrians, that those 10 northern tribes were lost forever. I find that interesting because here we have one of them named after the tribe of Asher. I guess they got found. Make no mistake about it, friends. God knows where His people are. And when He establishes them and they come back to Him and they turn to the Messiah, they'll all be set up just exactly like God said they will be. Amen. She was of great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years. So she got married as a young virgin girl. She got married and she had her husband for 7 years, and then her husband died after 7 years of marriage. I want you to notice something about the character of this young woman. because she got married probably at a very young age. By the way, most of the time they got married when they were about 13 or 14 years old. Can you imagine? We're ready for our kids to get married when they're about 34. And they're probably not really ready then. They got married when they were about 13 or 14, so she was very young, and her husband died when she was still quite young, and she did not turn away from the Lord, but rather turned directly to the Lord. You know, a lot of people, when tragedy comes in their life, they kind of turn away from God. They get angry with God. They question God. But this woman, she didn't turn from God. She turned to God. She didn't push God away. She clung to Him. She got as close to the Lord as she possibly could and began to serve Him with her whole heart and her whole life. By the way, can I encourage you, when tragedy comes into your life, don't turn away from God. Go to God. Amen. He's the source of all comfort. And you say, well, you don't understand what happened in my life. You don't understand the pain. You don't understand the heartache. You're right, maybe I don't, but God does. Right. Well, I don't know why God would allow that to happen. I don't either, but there's a reason. Right. And God knows. I don't know why God allowed her husband to die after just 7 years of marriage, but that's what happened. And it didn't turn her away from God. It turned her to God. She didn't become bitter. She got better. And that's the way we should be. Now, there's a question here, and I can't give you the answer. I'll give you a couple of options. There's probably some people in this room could tell you 100% for sure, but I honestly don't know. It says that she lived with a husband for 7 years, and she was a widow of about 84 years. That's 84. Now, I honestly don't know today whether Anna was 84 years old or if she had been a widow for 84 years. I don't know. In the way that it reads here in our Bible, I think it could be either way. But I'll tell you this, she was of great age, and she was at least 84 years old. How's that for an answer? Now, just think about it for a second. If she was 13 when she got married and she had a husband for 7 years, she'd have been 20 years old. And if what it is saying, which it seems to be saying to me, that she was a widow for 84 years, she would have been at least 104 years old. That's pretty old in our day and age with all the medical advances we have. I tell you, in this day, it was incredible. And by the way, that's kind of the way I tend to lean, because he specifies she was of a great age. Either way, I figure after 84 years, another 20 years, what's that? I know this, from the time that she lost her husband, she went to the temple and she never left, and she faithfully served the Lord all of those years. Amen. And whether it was for 84 years or whether it was for 64 years, either way, that's quite a testimony. Amen. I think it's quite a testimony to do anything for 64 years. Amen. Brother Tom, I haven't done anything for 64 years. We live in a disposable society where people want to do something for a little while and then try something else for a little while, and many of us have probably done that in our lives. We don't have a lot of people who are faithful in much of anything this day and age. Now, some of you have been in this church for a long, long time, and I thank God for you. I tell you, there's a lot of people who have come in for a little while and left and stuff like that. And I want to tell you, when you get into God's house and you make a decision to start serving the Lord, you ought to stick with it. I mean, listen, this is an incredible testimony. Whether it's 64 years or 84 years, that's a long time to serve the Lord, and she stayed faithful throughout it. She never, ever failed in her faithfulness to serve the Lord. How do you know? Because God said so. Look at it. We saw her history. Look at her activity. Her activity. Verse 37 said she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She departed not from the temple. Now, some people think that this means that she was just always there when it was time to worship. There was the morning and the evening sacrifice, and she always made it a way to be there. But I personally think that it means, when it says she departed not from the temple, I think it means that she departed not from the temple. I believe that Anna lived at the temple. Now, there were apartments there around the temple site, and the priests that would come in, many times the priests would come in and serve for just 2 weeks, and then they would go back home, and they had places for them to stay. And I believe that when the priests of the temple saw how faithful this woman was and how she devoted herself to God, they gave her a place to stay. And I believe that Anna literally lived at the temple site, and she stayed there, and she never left. But why do you think that, preacher? Well, because it says she departed not from the temple. She went to the place of worship and she stayed there. Now listen, we live in a different day today. I understand that. The temple was the site that God had chosen. It was a holy place. God said, I'm going to set my name there. I'm going to bless my people there. He said all of those things. But listen, we live in a new economy today and we worship God everywhere. Amen. Right? You remember Jesus talked to the woman at the well, and the woman, they said, well, you say you worship over here, and we say we worship over here. And Jesus said, no, there's coming a time when the worshipers of God, those who love the Lord, are going to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It's not going to be about a location anymore. It's not going to be about this mountain or that mountain. It's going to be about what's in your heart. And friends, we live in that time today. And what I'm trying to tell you is that her activity said she departed not from the temple. And can I tell you this, that when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, and your body becomes the temple of the living God, and you ought not forsake that truth. Amen. What I'm trying to tell you is we ought to live as though Jesus is in us. Amen. We ought to live as though the Lord Jesus Christ, His Holy Spirit, is inside of us, that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, that we are the temple of the living God. That we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And we ought to live as though we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, think about it. Hannah of the Old Testament. You remember she prayed for a son? And she said, God, if you'll give me a child, I'll give him to you. And remember how Samuel was born? And she said, I'm gonna take care of him until he's old enough to be weaned. And then I'm going to give him to the Lord. And that's exactly what she did. When Samuel was old enough and he was weaned, she took him to the temple. She found Eli. She said, you remember me? I was praying for a child and God heard my prayer and here he is and I am giving him to the Lord. Amen. He belongs to you. And she gave Samuel into the service of God. And you remember Samuel stayed there. He didn't leave the temple. He stayed there and served the Lord there. And now we have Anna of the New Testament who didn't give a son. She gave herself. She said, God, you've given me grace. You have blessed my life, and I'm going to live for you. I'm going to stay here waiting for Messiah to come. I'm going to stay here looking for your promise and your hope. And she gave herself to the service of God. She departed not from the temple. Hey, friends, there's a lot to be said for just staying. I was thinking about this. I was thinking about marriage a little bit. And I know a lot of you have been through the tragedy of divorce, and nobody knows how awful divorce is better than people who've been through it. It's an awful thing, and we all know that, right? Amen. But here's the reality. We understand God's plan that one woman and one man would marry and stay together for their whole lives. And we understand, we see the beauty of that, we see the picture of that. And I just think about, there was a day and age, I told you before, I remember the first kid in my class when I was in elementary school. The first one in our class whose parents got a divorce, that was a big deal back then. It was big. And it was one of those things that everybody was like, his parents got divorced. And I was like, what's that mean? Because I'd never heard of it before. I didn't know what that was. And we live in a different world today, don't we? We have a disposable society. You throw everything away. And people treat their marriages like that a lot too, but there's just a lot to be said for just staying. I've talked to some people. My grandparents were married for a long, long time. And there's a little bit of wisdom that I want to share with you today. One older couple I heard about, they talked about how they managed to stay married for so long. And they said, well, neither one of us left. Wow. They didn't say neither one of us, you know, never wanted to leave. They just said we didn't leave. There's a lot to be said for that. I'm assured that my marriage is going to last. My wife told me before we got married that we talked about it, the fact that neither one of us believed in divorce. Now, she's okay with killing me, but divorce is not an option. I have some family members who've been married for a long time. I guess right around 50 years now. There were a couple of occasions where the wife literally tried to kill her husband and was unsuccessful. And they're still married today. I'm not going to talk about how smart he is, but I think about Anna and how she stayed. Well, she just stayed. You think there weren't ever any there weren't any problems at the temple? You think that there were never any hard days? You think there ever wasn't any corruption at the temple? The temple was full of corruption. The priests were, many of them were ungodly people. Like in Eli's day, his sons were, the Bible says they were sons of Belial, sons of the devil. They're ungodly and wicked. And you think it was any different in Anna's day in the New Testament? You think that for those 64 or 84 years she was there wasn't a lot of corruption and a lot of sin and a lot of bad things going on? But she wasn't there for all of that mess. She was there for the Lord. And can I just help you out a little bit as we think about starting this new year? And by the way, good job being in church on the first day of the year. Can I just tell you that things aren't always perfect here at Calvary? Hold on, I'll let you catch your breath. Your pastor is sometimes just dumb and does really stupid things. And there are people in this church who are not always kind to one another. I just want to make sure you're okay with, right? Will anybody pass out? We have people in this church who are not always kind. We have, sometimes we say things, we do things that are not right. Sometimes, hey, here's another shocker for you. Sometimes there's sin in this church. Amen. There's sin in people's lives. Amen. And can I tell you that if you're here for the people or you're here for any of the wrong reasons, you won't stay. Anna departed not because she was there for the right reasons. Amen. Motives matter. Amen. She was there for the Lord. And when you're there for the Lord, it doesn't matter what everything else is going on and what everybody else does. I'm there for the Lord. So let me just challenge you to be here, but be here for the right reasons. And if you're here for the right reasons, then you won't leave. Amen. Don't depart. Don't leave. Stick with it. Stay with it. Be faithful. She departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now that we're over, done with the holidays, we can talk about fasting again. The turkey's gone. Nobody's got any leftover pie. Anybody still got leftover pie? Hold on. Keep your hands up. You may need somewhere to go this afternoon. Listen, she was devoted to the Lord. And can I just say that fasting and prayer always goes together in Scripture? Very rarely do you see anybody fasting and not praying. They go hand in hand. Amen. And great things can be accomplished for the Lord when we fast and pray. You remember when the disciples couldn't cast out the demon and the man came to him and said, I asked him to help and they couldn't do anything and the Lord took care of it. And they said, why couldn't we cast him out? He said, this kind cometh not out but by much prayer and fasting. Amen. You see, great things can be accomplished when we fast and pray. And listen, fasting, it literally means to go without food, but it's really about separating yourselves from the desires of the flesh to focus on the Spirit. Now listen, if you skip lunch one day, but you give no thought to God and you spend no time praying, that's really not effective. If you come to the end of the day, you've just been so busy, you didn't take time to eat and go, oh, well, there you go, Lord. It doesn't work like that. No, it's about intentionally going without food and spending extra time in prayer and focusing on Him. And that's the way that she lived night and day. I want you to notice that this was night and day. This is just a fraction of a day and a fraction of a day. In the evening, in the morning, she spent time fasting and she spent time praying. Do you realize today that the actions of our days make up the character of our lives? What you do morning and night is going to make up eventually who you are. What you do every morning and what you do every night and what you do every day, day after day after day, those days, those moments add up to days and those days to weeks and those weeks to months and those months to years and those years to decades. And how many of you would testify today that the decades seem to be going by faster and faster? And what are those decades? Well, it's a culmination. It's just the sum of all the activity that we do moment by moment. The choices that we make moment by moment. And you say, well, I forgot to pray yesterday, or I didn't read my Bible yesterday. And you go, oh, it's no big deal. I'll make it up later. But those missed days are going to start adding up. Amen. And you're going to get out of the habit, and your actions day by day are going to change, and it's going to change who you are. But if you're faithful night and day to fast and pray and to devote yourself to the Lord and to study the Word of God and to prophesy, to tell others about Jesus, it will change who you are. Amen. You see, we're looking at the character of Anna. That, well, who she was what she did day by day. Amen. Who she was is what she did day by day. And the same thing is true for us, friends. If we want to have the kind of testimony that Simeon and Anna had, then we need to have the kind of activity that they had. To be just, to be devout, to be committed to the Lord. To give our time to fasting and prayer. And very quickly, would you notice the melody of Anna? She coming in that instant. It was another divine appointment. We talked about how Joseph and Mary came in, and at just the right time, Simeon came and found them. They didn't know each other. God brought them together. And in that moment, while Simeon's there holding the baby, then Anna shows up out of nowhere. How did that happen? Because God was leading her and she was following the Lord. By the way, God still leads His people, and if we'll listen, He'll lead us. Take us to divine appointments. She coming in that instance, listen to this, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. Likewise, in the same way that Simeon did. In the same way that Simeon praised the Lord, she did. Now look back at it, just a few verses if you would please. In verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Anna came right after that, in that moment, and she gave thanks in the same way. She gave thanks to God. She said, praise the Lord, I've seen your salvation. I've seen the light to the Gentiles, the glory of Israel. And she just echoed what he said. She gave a response. Now, I got to tell you this. This phrase, give thanks, is an interesting phrase. It's used only once in the whole New Testament. And forgive me if I get this wrong, Brother Conley. It's anthomologia he, or something like that. And it's a really neat word that I can't say. But listen to this. Most of you have heard of a symphony, right? Maybe some of you have heard of something called an antiphony. An antiphony is it's a responsive verse. In other words, you got a group singing one thing and another group sing something in response to that. It's a back and forth kind of thing. Instead of a symphony where you got all the parts going together harmoniously, an antiphony, it goes back and forth. It's an echo. We used to do responsive readings in church some, and somebody would read a verse and then the audience would read back. We would do that. Brother Steve would read a verse and we would read part of it back and go back and forth. It was really neat. That's kind of the idea. But that's the idea of this word, to give thanks. It was a responsive confession. And because Simeon took up Jesus in his arms and says, praise the Lord, I've seen thy salvation, she responded back in kind. Do you see it? It was a response to what he had said, and she was confessing. And that second part of the word to confess, it's 1 John 4:15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And she was confessing, this is the Christ, the Son of God. And she was giving praise to God, and it was a song of praise. And we don't know the exact words, but we know that it was the same type of things that Simeon was saying and she was responding back. Listen, they were having a praise session right there. They were having a worship session right there. They were worshiping the Lord. And Simeon was praising God, and Anna was praising God back in response. And the picture is that they were going back and forth in worshiping the Lord. Can I tell you, we have a lot to give thanks for today. How many, we think about it every time we give a chance to say what you're thankful for. Everybody, I'm so thankful for my salvation. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my freedom. We've got so much to be thankful for, friends. But it all goes back to this moment. When God gave us His unspeakable gift. Everything that we have to give thanks for rests on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she gave thanks. And spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She spake of Jesus to everybody that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Do you see it? She spake of Him, spake of Jesus. To who? To all them that look for redemption in Jerusalem. Tens of thousands of people in Jerusalem, and she spake to everybody that was looking for redemption about the Lord Jesus Christ. How did she do that? Think about it. Did people wear a sign? I'm looking for redemption. Did they have it put on their t-shirts? Was she looking for bumper stickers on their carts? How did she know? I get an idea that she talked to a lot of people. People who were wanting redemption, people who wanted to be saved, she somehow was able to find them and to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ. She spake of Him. Listen to Titus 2. Verses 11 through 14, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And dear friends, if you're looking for redemption, you need look no further than the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He gave Himself for us. Amen. So that He could redeem us. And this morning, we're going to get ready for an invitation. And while our musicians come, I want to invite you to stand with me. We've seen the history of Anna. We've seen the activity of Anna. We've seen the melody of Anna. She was singing a song of praise right along with Simeon. Responding to His confession of who Christ was, she gave confession likewise that this Christ, this Jesus, this babe was the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of all people. And this morning, friends, we've got a lot to give thanks for. And I can't think of a better way for you to start your new year than this, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart and to give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ every moment of this new year. Friends, there might be a burden on your heart today, a decision that you need to make for Christ, to repent and trust Him as Savior, to follow Him in baptism, whatever it is. Friends, if you've got any unconfessed or unrepented sin, friends, now is the time to get right with the Lord. Don't wait. What a better time than the first day of the year, the first Sunday of the year, to be in God's house, to get your heart thoroughly right with God, and to start this new year the best way you possibly can, with a right heart with Jesus. If He's convicting your heart, would you come right now while we sing?
Page 531.
Number 531. Lord's convicting, would you come?